on this computer.
Right, so press record now. I'm always amazed how you press record and it tells you that you're recording. Right! Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of Spill the Tea with Jimmy C podcast. I nearly forgot what it was called then. And this week, I am pleased to be joined by an avid listener of the podcast who has listened to every single episode so far. Mr. Phil Brooks, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Who's this? Sorry, Jim Coates. I think I know your dad. Your dad's Keith, isn't it? Yeah, I know your dad. Who are you?
As we're doing this on Zoom, because we couldn't unfortunately meet. So the first episode of Season 2 was done live. And what I wanted to do was do the rest of these as live as I could, face to face with people. But unfortunately, I've had to self-isolate for a number of days. What I didn't want to do is you and I had set this up and we bollocksed around. There you go. I've already gone. We've messed around with trying to get dates together and we just couldn't get it together. And then I said, well, I'm having to isolate now, so let's do it on Zoom because I can't go anywhere. So I've got a little bit more free time. So we're now doing it on Zoom. And because of that, I've now just changed my screen name to Jimmy C. There you go.
Jimmy
C. You know who I am now. I'm that bloke.
Yeah, yeah. I'm that bloke. My second favourite BNI podcast. Yeah.
Well, do you know what? I'm on it. I'm on the other one as well. So.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you? I've never heard you with Mr. Meisner.
That one. Oh, right. I'm going to text Shona right. Shona, Phil says you're his third favourite BNI person podcast. Mr. Meisner is ahead of that. Dr. Meisner.
Dr. Meisner. That's it. Dr. Meisner.
How are you, mate?
I'm all right. As hot as hell.
Oh, mate, it is balls hot, isn't it? It really
it is. Yes. It's ball soup.
Yes. I'm sitting in my front room / office of my new house, and I've got one window to my right and one window to my left in the kitchen, and the windows are both open but there is no breeze, and I'm waiting for my Amazon order to arrive, which is a USB very powerful fan, because I'm just too hot, basically.
But it just moves hot air around.
Well, apparently no, it will make it cold again.
No,
I do need an air conditioning unit, really.
Yes,
neither
am I. No, air conditioning is the way ahead. But basically, what you've got is you've got a motor in your house creating heat, which is the fan, and that's blowing it around the place. All they do is to actually make the things warmer.
Maybe it's
you need shade. You need to close all of the curtains.
Yeah, but then I feel like a bit of a hermit as I'm sitting in the dark going, ooh, what is going on here?
Well, you've been pinged. You are a hermit.
Yeah, I can still go in my garden. I'm so glad. Do you know what? And for all those listening, if you haven't got a garden and you've had to self-isolate or you've had to, in the lockdowns last year, not go out, I really feel for you. I really feel. Luckily, in my old house that I was in, my garden was about the size of a Premiership football field or a rugby pitch. It was huge. And this one is a bit smaller, but it's, you know, we've been outside the last couple of days. And I've been working, of course, as well, because I've still got to work.
Yeah, we've been all right. We, for all through lockdown last year, obviously, being IT and stuff, I worked all the way through. You know, just observed as much of what I possibly could do with coating my hands in lovely lemony smelling 80% alcohol. And it goes well with tonic. And then,
what, do you stick your hand in the tonic you and just then lick your hand?
Yeah, licky lick afterwards. Yes, exactly. So it all went in lovely with the tonic. Masks as soon as I could get hold of some. I had gloves and things. I had to do gloves. I tried doing hand washing, and all that happened was my hands started to dissolve within about 2 days. I could literally, when you're washing your hands all the time, because you go to a customer's, you go in, you wash your hands, come out, you wash your hands, go to the next customer, wash your literally, my hands were dissolving with that much soap. So, like, gloves and then you know, hand sanitizer when that became available. But yeah, oh, it's, yeah.
I'm the same. I had the same issue where I was literally washing my hands all the time. And the daft thing of it is, and I've mentioned this many a time in conversation and on this podcast as well. Those people that go, oh, I've never washed my hands so much, then you're dirty, because actually you should have been washing your bloody hands anyway.
Yeah.
And as you know, and as anybody who might listen, I work within health and safety, and we're saying to people, you need to wash your hands. You should be, the government guidance is you should be washing your hands for 20 seconds continually, blah, blah, blah. Oh yeah. Oh really? I've never washed my hands so much. What do you do when you go to the toilet?
Mate, you're a bloke. You've been at the toilet. Every time I go to the toilet, wherever I go, the worst place is when you go to the toilet at, say, I don't know, Morrison's, Asda's or Tesco, something like that, and you see the bloke come in, go to the toilet, do his wee-wee business, and then walk straight out.
Yeah.
And you're like, you disgusting monster.
Yeah.
You're going out to handle my spuds.
Mm. I was out last Sunday. Watching the football final, and I'd had a couple of drinks, and I'm standing in the bloke's toilet washing my hands, and I went to the dryer, and they only had one dryer in there. There's a guy who came in behind me, washed his hands. Oh no, he went to the toilet, sort of went to wash his hands, and looked at me drying my hands continually because I don't like them when they're wet.
No.
And he just walked straight past me. I knew who he was, and I shouted at him, and I gave him a bit of abuse. I went, "Oi, come wash your hands, you dirty so and so," you know. And he sort of went, "Oh, all right then," and came back. I just think it's foul. It really is.
Absolutely foul. Yeah.
It really is awful when people do that.
Mm. Yeah, don't get it.
But yeah, my hands at the beginning were awful. Then were literally going red raw.
Yeah.
From the continual washing, and then Michaela said, "Oh," my wife, she said, "Oh, try this hand stuff." I tell you what, I'm not really a man for face creams or body lotions or hand sanitizer, but not hand cream. And I put this stuff on, and she gave me this stuff, and I put it on, and I used it, and then I used it a few days later and a bit more, and now my hands have gone back to being smooth, soft. You feel my hands, you'd never think I worked a hard day's work in my life.
I don't think you still have worked a I'll hard piss day's off. Work.
I'll fucking have, I tell you.
Arse gravy. Don't believe it. Not for a second.
Yeah, balls. So, Phil.
Yes.
Tell us your Zoom screen name, as it has still from our meeting that we were
about right this
morning, says Philip Brooks Computer Stuff. So,
right.
Tell all our lovely listeners, what do you do?
Well...
And you've got longer than 45 seconds. For those listening, I mean by 45 seconds, you've got longer. But you haven't got 20 fucking minutes, so you've got some time.
You see, that's the thing. I can sum it up in two words. It's stringing it out for more than 45 seconds is the hard thing. It's computer stuff. Yes, that's all I do. So basically, we're a little firm. There's only two of us at the moment looking to go.
You can say
Diamondbyte Solutions Limited. Okay, busy on Evolution Business Centre, Algors Way, Wisbeach, PE13.
Do you want to throw PTQ? in your bank account and sort code number as well? And then we'll just...
I might give the IBAN number, but that'll be about it. Or my Swift code. So we sell computers. Mostly sort of like refurbished laptops because they're reasonably priced. Lots of refurbished desktops. And we build new custom desktops for people. So I build all sorts of gaming computers. You've not been over and seen my gaming stuff, have you? I've shown you some photos, haven't I think?
You have. Seen some photos. You have, yeah. And I do need, when I'm out of isolation, I'm back at work for a week and I'm on holiday for 2 weeks, but... At some point over the next few weeks, I'll pop over. I need to pop over and see you because I'll get very jealous. But I'll make sure I leave my credit card at home.
Yeah, don't come anywhere near me with that.
I'll buy everything because I love tech. I love computers. Yeah. I love tech. So carry on.
Oh, we build all sort of like custom bespoke desktops, gaming desktops. We do reasonably priced things. We do ridiculously expensive things. Well, they're not expensive. It's just the parts are expensive. So we're not expensive. But if someone wants expensive things, I cater for their needs. So, yeah, if you want a $2,000 graphics card, I can't make it cheaper. No. Because that's how much they are. They're ridiculous money. But, yeah, I'm normally cheaper than the big boys like PC Specialist and stuff. And, of course, you get to pick every single part. Mm-hmm. I put it all in a box for you, bung some windows on, and then sort of like, yeah, help people set it all up at home and do all stuff.
And you give people that no nonsense, helpful, no bullshit.
Yeah, there's no point.
Service.
You know,
it does happen. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I have in the past bought stuff from PC World. I will never buy stuff from them again. And I don't care if people are listening because I think some of their service is dog shit.
But it is absolutely awful. The thing is what I would do is if I know exactly what I want. I mean, I'll go in there tomorrow. If a customer says to me they're after an XYZ printer and none of my suppliers will get it, I'll go in, get them that printer, and they'll try to sell me an extended warranty. They're trying to sell me their overpriced ink. They'll try to sell me this, that. I go, no, I just want the box. Get it. Take it over to the customers. Install the printer for them and, you know, and get it all set up. Because, I mean, I think it's particularly easy to do, but they're going to have been doing it all for 20-odd years. Mm. It's other people that find these things difficult, and I'm there to help them.
And I'll be honest, it is, from my experience, I like tech, so I like new bits and pieces. You know, when something new comes out, I want to get it. You know, I'm absolutely, like, I really want to get a gaming PC, but it's a cost thing, you know, but I'm seriously considering it. And I think yeah, I want that. And I have a really good crack at trying to sort stuff out IT-wise, but I just get to the point, when I was a lot younger, I was able to do more. And if I probably explored it more, then I would have maybe got better and gone into like what you do. However, I didn't. And I get to the point now, I just think, I'm well out of my sort of area of expertise. But then that's not my area of expertise. My area of expertise is playing, even though if you talk to some of my teammates on Warzone, it's questionable.
I've heard tale.
Yeah. I'm a player, you know. I don't do all the fixing, and I'll come and speak to you, people like you and yourself, and say, can you do this? Because otherwise, I'll spend so much time, and I'll get really pissed off as well. And then
the amount of time that you go and spend.
It is.
So if you basically, I mean, the reason I only really like working very locally, sort of like around Wisbeach, is because it's a massive detriment to my own business is the fact that I walk in, press a button, make something work and walk out again. Mm. I'm not very good at making a 30-second job last for 2 hours like some of my competition managers to do.
No. And I understand that from the industry that I'm in. I was having a conversation with a mutual friend of ours this morning around health and safety, and there are other companies out there who will make an absolute song and dance about something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be so difficult, and it works across all industry. If you make it difficult for the client, they won't understand it, and then you can charge the earth because they won't understand it. And actually what you're doing is about 10% of what you actually say you're doing, and you're just trying to ramp it up. To me, business wise, it's quite a clever model because you're making money. However,
yeah.
I'm a moral person, and I'll never go see a client and charge them and overprice them for what they don't need. However, I have gone into new clients who have had that done to them before, look at what they've been charged and think, you don't need that. That's too over the top. That's well over the top. And that really, really just grinds my gears.
I can't name names.
No, that's fine.
We've got a mutual friend that owns, I think you know, I'm sure you know him.
I'm going to make a note. You can tell me afterwards, and then I can sit there and go, no.
But he got a quote for a fully integrated IT suite of stuff on his current kit.
Right.
He's got like about 4 or 5 desktops.
Yeah.
And they wanted, I think it was about £60 a month worth of support.
Right.
Per device. And then he would get, and that would include a discount on this, that, and the other.
Mm.
And this was all the, you know, the old kit that he bought, sort of like 3rd gen, 4th gen i5s that he'd bought 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Mm.
And he's like, he goes, Phil, have a look at this quote for me. And I've gone, and I've literally looked at it, and I'm like, I'm almost in tears. I'm like, have you considered this? And he's like, well, yeah. I'm like, why aren't I doing that?
I know.
And he goes, well, what's wrong with it? I said, well, because like it's 240 odd quid a month, and they're going to be doing nothing for you. Yeah. And he goes, he goes, well, I thought that. What do I pay you? I said, I looked at the last 2 years worth of bills, and it was about 240 quid. Why am I not doing these contract things? I think the first 3 letters is the problem. Is the contract, you know? So, you know, I'm like, you know, and it was so much money, and they were doing so little for it. And I was gutted for him. Like, you're not paying it. He went, no, I didn't think I would. I just wanted to run it by you. I'm like, well, don't. So, yeah, he pulled out of that. Yes.
And that does happen. That does happen. And again, I've seen it, and we will only quote, we're honest local people, as you are, a local business, who you are the owner of the business.
Yep.
I am one of 3 owners of my business. And we're not a big multinational corporation or a big national company. And there are health and safety national companies, and they do their own thing. And I'm trying to be quite fair here, you know, they do their own thing and charge the money that they charge, and we do our thing and give a better service. And it's when the big companies go to the little people, the little smaller companies, and charge what they charge a company 10 times the size, and then give them fuck all for it.
Well, that's the thing. He was still going to have to pay for call outs and stuff. I'm like,
frustrating. What?
You know, so like, and I'm like, what, why? I mean, like, so yeah, we just looked at what he'd been paying me, because I just brought it up on 0 for the last 2 years. He goes, well, yeah, I'll just stick with doing that. I think the thing was, is the fact that he'd called me up on a Monday and I couldn't get to him till a Tuesday. The one day of the week you're going to struggle to get me is on a Monday. When you phone me up on Monday, you might have to wait. And when he added up all of the bills, it just didn't. It was, as I said, it was about a month's worth over a course of 2 years.
Mm.
Yeah, but there you go, case for all.
Shit happens, you know.
Yeah,
it's cracked on, and you're still with you. So what made you get into doing computer stuff? What was it, by accident? Were you doing something else before? What?
So I had a series of absolutely god awful jobs from about the age of 16.
Well, what did you do? I'm intrigued. Because
all right, I worked for Barclays Bank.
Boring.
God, was it ever?
Sorry, right, anyone who's a banker out there.
I worked right. So 16 years old, just left school, and they placed me at Sidcup Station branch. Okay, now Sidcup Station had 8 staff in it, and the nearest one in age to me was 40, and I was 16.
Wow.
Okay, so I was put in the back office. There were 4 women in there, all in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I had no one to literally. No, I'd gone from school, chatty, so no one to talk to. And it's no surprise that at the end of sort of like you get a probation of 6 months, they went, hey, do you want to be here? I'm like, no, I'm off. And then I went to work for a paper merchant for about a year. Then I worked for my dad, who owned a Ford dealership before he retired. I worked for him for about a year. Then I worked at Dixon's in Oxford Street, the Strand. I worked up there for about 18 months, 2 years. Then I got to about 22. And I'm like, I was going to open a shop with my mate, Darren. And So I went to work for a friend of mine who owned a computer gaming type shop in Orpington. And I worked there for about 2 years and realized that since Darren didn't want to do it anymore, that I'd now worked my way down into working in a crappy little shop in a little provincial London town. And I was like, oh, I'm here now, am I? So yeah, at that point, I went to college, then university. And while I wanted to do something creative and wonderful and exciting, I realized I didn't know anybody that could get me a job doing something creative, wonderful and exciting. But I already knew a fair chunk about computers, so I'd go off and learn more about computers. And then I spent 3 years learning about computers and have used none of it since.
But it looks good on the CV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's always the way. It looks
Brighton University, CV. 3 years, used none of it. And then I went to, and then I got a I got my placement year, and I went to work for a fair-sized Canadian IT company.
Yeah.
And they got bought out by a bigger American IT company. And I said, towards the end of my placement year, I'm now sort of like 26. I've met 27, 28, something like that. I've met my good lady, now wife. I met her in Paris. And I'm like, do I have to go back to university? And I went, no. They gave me a big pay rise. And then proceeded to send me around the world doing IT shit.
Nice. And how long did you do that for until you set up?
I was 10 something years. And then they went and placed me at a crappy job in London because they didn't have... Oh. Yeah. So I'd gone off. I'd done this and this. Loads of little jobs around the world doing all sorts of exciting things. And then because... they had nothing for me specifically within the department I was working for.
Yeah.
They went, we've got a short-term thing going off over here at this bank in London. And because I worked, because I lived in Catford, it was like I was cheap and easy to get into it. So literally you go over here, and then they went and changed some bits and pieces. And I found myself working in this crappy department in a bank in London. And then within, so I'd started throwing all of my toys out of my pram, going, I'd have been on the phone to show the likes of Shona going, constructive dismissal, like this. And so I got rapidly promoted from one position to another position because I was complaining. And I'm sort of,
still
throwing all of my toys everywhere. And then we moved up here. And then, that's the thing. I'd worked for this department that was global, as it were. So it didn't matter where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'd planned on opening a branch of CEX with a friend of mine.
Right.
Okay. At Lynn, funnily enough. And we'd got together the money to open up a branch of CEX. And then this is a different friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so note me going into business with a friend, and that didn't work before. Different friend, you know, 15 years later, we'll go and open a CEX together on a franchise, and we'd signed all the non-disclosure agreements, we'd done all the bits and pieces, we'd been over all with the head office of CEX and stuff like that. And literally just at the point of putting pen to paper, so to make this shit real, and my mate's gone, I don't know if I want to do it. And I'm like, mate, don't worry. If you don't want to do it, we won't do it. Because if you've got any doubts at all, it's good. But we put time and effort into this. Don't care. You know, your friendship's more important to me than us going ahead and doing that. Don't care about it. You know, if you don't want to do it now, it's best we find out now. And we just don't do it. And we just pulled out and went our separate ways. Well, we're still buddies, but
but
the business side of things. Yeah.
You started in a bank and then and then you ended up in a bank again later on.
Yeah. Different type of bank though. Yeah. High street bank, as opposed to one with stockbrokers with 35 screens and, you know,
I might try I'm going to call it the Peyton here now, the Phil Brooks technique. Let's throw everything out. Give me promotion.
Well, no, I wasn't asking for a promotion. I was basically, they put me in this.
I don't want to be here. This is shit.
Exactly. I'd gone from leading a team of 30 people in Hong Kong, okay, to coming back to good old Blighty. And basically, I'm now in charge of, well, no, I'm not. I'm now putting monitors on desks.
Oof.
Because that was, yeah, it literally, I've gone for, and the thing was, it's like, I came back from the thing and everyone was going, Phil, you did a fantastic job in Hong Kong. That was brilliant. That was excellent. That was, it was a brilliant training. That was some, everything was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, all boxes ticked. You were awesome. Yeah, go and put these monitors on these desks over here.
Oh, make sure they're plugged in as well.
Yeah, oh yeah. it was like I'd had the wind kicked out of me, as it were. And I was like, so I've gone, ah, that's not on. And, yeah, and so basically, as I got it within 6 months while I was still there, I'd become Deskside Services team lead, okay, which is a fairly decent position. And they were angling me to be a customer service relationship manager type thing, which I it's the kind of job that I wanted. But I'd at that stage, I'd already ruffled, I'm not saying at the bank, I never ruffled any feathers. It was all back with the big company, as it were, and they're going, all right, okay, so he's moving out of London, okay. And they spent 9 months I spent on gardening leave, as it were, when we moved up here from London. So I spent we bought the house up here, and I think it was in the July they turned around and said, do you want redundancy? As I've just spent 9 months decorating my house and everything. And I'm like, yeah, fine. So I took their tens of thousands of pounds. So I'd had 9 months off on full pay.
And then you took money from
and then
well.
And then I took my hair. So I was like, happy days.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So are you, you talked about gaming PCs. I take you're a gamer then.
Yeah.
As you know, because you are an avid listener, but I am a bit of a shit gamer, but I'm a gamer. I put the hours in the evenings when I can.
Yeah, I tried playing Warzone because I've not really played it that much. I'm just wandering around Verdansk like a complete lemon with knowing nobody and just doing nothing. I'm like, what's going on here then? What's going on? What's that? I'm dead. All right. Oh, look, I'm having a fight in a pub now or whatever it is, in a prison. All right, okay, what's going on here? Yeah, so I've tried. The thing is, it's one of the, I think, it isn't as instantly accessible as something like Apex, okay? Right. Where you've got small squads, duos or trios. You just drop in, you run around, you die, or you win. Okay, so I think Apex is more accessible.
If you haven't, try Plunder. Plunder is no gulag, and I like doing Plunder on the Warzone side. I don't want to, because some games I'm really good, and then some games I'll die. I'll be like, spawn dead. And I go, oh, I've had enough. So I'll play Plunder, and I'll just run around. If none of my mates are on, I'll just run around on my own and level up the weapons. I have tried. I've got a friend of mine who's got a PS5, and probably people, hopefully listeners, all might be sitting there thinking, what's he doing that for? He's got a PS5, yet he uses a keyboard and mouse.
I get that.
I've tried. I've got a keyboard and mouse here set up on my desk, and I've tried to use that. But years ago, when I first started doing gaming, and I played the original sort of Medal of Honor, original Call of Duty, stuff like that, it was on the PC. They didn't have it on the PlayStation. They had really shit versions on the PlayStation or Xbox. And I was using the keyboard and mouse, but I'm so trained into using the controller. If I took a week off work and literally just sat using the keyboard and mouse, I'd be an absolute whiz on it. But I do find, I was doing a bit of practice with my mate the other night, who the PS5 player, and I was able to use the mouse, and I was about a million times more accurate. And it is more accurate to use it, but I can't remember the buttons.
And on the keyboard.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, they always say, don't they, with your left hand, it should be...
It's WADS.
It's WADS. But what I was doing, because I can't always remember that, and it started...
And hang on 1 second. And in English, that's up for W, down for S, left for A, and D for right. That's
right. WADS. That is right. That is WADS. But I was using the up, down, left, right arrows. And of course, then I forget what reload is. And even though it comes up on the screen, it doesn't come up quick enough. And I'm forgetting what reload. And I think I did five. I played Plunder, and I did five respawns, and the first five I died because I forgot how to open the parachute. Because me and my mates, because we do quite quick drops and stuff, we've turned off the automatic parachute so that we can get really low and then literally, I don't know, 40 meters from the ground, you can whip your parachute so that you're not
halo jumping.
Basically. So you're not spending all that time dropping down. And also, any other enemy, because it's all tactics, I'm really keen on this. Any other enemy looking at you from anywhere else could think that you're a bird because you're shooting down that quick. Yet if you drop down in a parachute, you open your parachute, they go, oh yeah, well, we know who he is. We'll just run over and shoot him in about 10 seconds. So we've done that. And one of my other friends, Pat, who is quite an avid player as well, he goes through and he's told our whole team, our whole clan, which settings to have on and off. And he's done a bit of research around it and stuff like that. And, you know, there's one that if you move too quickly, it goes all not smeary. I can't think of the right word, but it's not clear. And he says you've got to turn that off so that when you move, you don't, because somebody could appear out a doorway, and if you're moving around, and it starts to be a bit delayed,
you get all of that on the PC.
You're gonna get shot.
The thing is, in a PC game, you could have. Oh, literally upwards of 150 settings for graphics and sound, where you can play around with turning the resolution up, down, and all to get the best frame rate that you possibly can. I play for fun.
We do play for fun. I do get cross. I get cross myself.
That's the really annoying thing.
I get cross.
You get sort of like, oh, you're annoyed that, you know, that all of a sudden you ended up with cack hands.
You can't hold your controller or whatever.
Just all of a sudden it's like we used to play me and my friends used to get together and put all our PCs together and have LAN sessions, and my mate Richard loves to remind me of the time that we had this would be dawn of the internet with sort of like email and stuff. We're basically, and there's me, I'm sort of like, yeah, I'm Mr. Big Bollocks. I'm gonna take all of you to the cleaners. And literally, I might as well have turned up without thumbs. Without fingers. I mean, literally nothing worked whatsoever. And I spent the entire day being owned by everybody, and you're like, this is, and it was just an awful day. And it was, and the thing is, Richard absolutely loves it when I fail. So it's sort of like, and just literally him for the entire day wetting himself with laughter at the fact that I can't aim for toffee. Yes, and he'll remind me of that. I mean, it was like 25 years ago, and he'll remind me of that probably next week or so.
My best mate Chris, who's appeared on this, he and his son and Chris set up a bit of a team online. It was my first sort of online gaming experience. We're going back. I've lived in Norfolk 5.5, so we're probably going back about 8 or 9 years. I've never played online really before. Couldn't be asked. I converted from Xbox to PlayStation, mainly because all my mates and Chris and his son had PlayStations and I couldn't get online. Nobody else I knew played online. So it converted me over. Originally it was a PS3 and then it was a PS4. And I tell you, I remember some funny evenings of playing. Have you ever played or heard of Dying Light?
Zombie game. Brilliant.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game.
Shit scared of the zombies.
When night, Chris, nightfall comes and they're coming for you, the big ones as well.
Yeah, and what used to happen is because Ronnie, he's a fair bit now, but he's in his 20s now. He's in the RAF. But when he was in his teens, he literally played, the PlayStation was his life. Yeah. And he was leveled up. He was the highest level up on Grand Theft Auto. He was the highest level up on Call of Duty, on Dying Light. And there's me going in, and it was a real laugh because we'd go in and play, and he'd be having all these super costumes and, you know, shields and armor and everything. There's me running in my fucking speedo pants, you know, and my shit trainers. And literally, the bloke I had, he had a pair of shorts on and these pair of shit shoes, and Ronnie be like, well, I'll just drop you all my weapons. So he starts to drop me all these weapons, and I'll be running around just like in the dark, and they go, right, what we're going to do now is you can either have torches on or torches off. And I'm sitting in the dark in my house in King's Lynn, and it's about 12 o'clock at night, and I went, come on, let's turn the lights off. So we all turned our lights off in the house, and then we turn the light torches off, and we'd be running around, and there's me that's screaming, going, oh, the carnival, because you think it's the Chris and Ronnie were absolutely, like, they were crying with laughter. And it's a shame. We were talking about it in our little clan of mates, and I think we're going to try and play some other games, and I think that one would be really good.
Phasmagoria as
People's
well.
And you can
have
build...
you seen Phasmagoria? I'm sure it's Phasmagoria.
No, I haven't seen that.
I'm sure it's Phasmagoria. Hang on, let me look at my...
But there's some...
Phasmophobia, that's it, Phasmophobia. Yeah, Phasmophobia. Okay? It's VR or normal, you know.
Is it PlayStation VR?
I don't know. I don't have a PlayStation.
I've got one of those VR sets. But in my new space now, I've got is more space for me to have it on the desk and move around. So
Phasmophobia, okay, is basically you doing the wandering around trying to find a ghost in the house. So think something like The Conjuring. Okay. Yeah. So think The Conjuring or Paranormal Activity, but you've got a VR headset on. Okay. And a pair of hands, and you basically you're wandering around here, there, and everywhere. That is. You have the lights off with that. Well, you have to when you've got your headset on.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're on your own. Oh, that is a screamer as well.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. That was, I played that with my mate Richard, and that was, he had to stop, okay, because it scared him so much.
Do you know what? You've inspired me now. Now that I've got this new setup in my new house, it was really hard to play on the VR set before, but here I don't think I've got any excuse, and I'm going to get it. I'm going to find it this week, especially while I'm isolating.
I'm
going to find it, and I'm going to see if I can set it up again, because there's a couple of games. My wife spent loads of money on that, and I don't fucking use it. So I'm going to try and do that. But so
I think it's only on. Yeah. So Phasmophobia is only on PC.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I'll have a. Okay, there are some other games. Yeah. There's some other games.
There'd be something like it. Yeah.
Well, maybe it'll push me to buy a gaming PC then.
Well, yeah, but you can't use your PC via. Sorry, your. You want to get the Oculus Rift, whatever it is, Oculus Quest.
Yes.
You want a Quest?
Well, and then,
I've got a Rift S, which is I can't pick it. If I pick it up, it will turn on. I've got a Rift S. That's all right. Had a Vive before it, which was better. So you feel like you've made a mistake. But yeah, the Rift S is reasonably priced. You can bung it into the back of a PC with a £90 cable. And they're absolutely fantastic. Nice. They've got better quality than the thing that I've got up there. And they're really, good.
Yeah, I like the old VR stuff. And I just think before I didn't really have the right setup, but I don't think I've got any.
I'm playing Half-Life Alyx at the moment.
Oh, I love Half-Life. Back in the day.
Alyx is as good as Half-Life 2, which is one of the best games ever.
It is.
Yes. In fact,
I think the only
game that's better is Portal 2.
Did you Half-Life? So there was another game connected to that. Was it Counter-Strike?
Counter-Strike, CSGO, that was using the same engine. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Counter-Strike was basically, Counter-Strike started as a mod for Half-Life.
Yeah.
Okay. And you you know that game, when I said earlier, when we were all, and I got owned.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first day that we started playing Counter-Strike.
See, I knew somebody.
We all downloaded the mod and we all played it. Yeah.
I knew somebody that he used to be in a really serious clan when I was about 12, 13, he used to be in a really serious clan, and we went round to his house. I think he was a friend of mum and dad's, and he wouldn't let you play on his PC, but his daughter had it set up, and I played, and he got really cross because he said I was rubbish. And I sat there and I thought, what an idiot. Now I understand from playing Warzone. I'm not a hardcore Warzoner.
I've got friends that have lost their partners because they've spent so long playing video games. I go on after 10 after when Claire's gone to bed.
I go on after about 9, 10 o'clock when the kids gone to bed. But especially at the moment, it just gets too hot.
I can't do it.
I'm literally sitting there and my eyes are just going, and I think the most recent time that it happened is we all jumped out the plane as a quad, and then I landed, my parachute opened for me, I can't remember what happened, and my whole team were around me going, are you there? Are you there? And I sort of went, oh, sorry, I nodded off. I died. This is how bad it was. I didn't pass through the gulag. And then they brought me back. I landed. And then I got swallowed up by the gas. And I hadn't even realised I was still in the game. And I just went, sorry, lads, I've got to go to bed. And just turn the PlayStation off and left. And that, there are times. I mean, I think the latest I've done is about 2 o'clock in the morning. But I can't do any more because I just can't. I'm knackered.
Yeah. I'm off normally. Literally, it will be, I'm off at midnight.
Yeah.
I'm on from sort of like 10 till midnight. On a Friday or Saturday, I might do later.
Yeah.
But it's also, that's the thing, because there's loads of movies drop on a Friday or Saturday on Netflix and Amazon. So
that might not
be my game night. That might be my movie night.
Also, we need to spend time with our wives and children. You know, just.
That's the thing. I'm so happy that my wife goes to bed at 10 o'clock. If she stayed up till midnight, I'd never play.
Exactly. Right. As you know, the sort of going through this, got questions. Some questions. Okay. Right. It's funny because it says topic one, discuss the first topic for about 3 minutes. I think that's been about 40 minutes, but hey, I don't care because this is what he's here for. Okay. A bacon roll or sausage in a roll, not sausage roll with pastries.
I get that. Yes. When you said bacon roll, that negated the Greg's thing.
I
would go bacon and sausage.
Oh, legend. Yes, I like that.
Yep, bacon and sausage. There's a reason I'm fat. yes.
Red or browns or ketchup or a brown sauce?
I'm glad we've now gone ketchup because red sauce is common. So it would be HP.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about together?
What? No.
No?
No. Are you talking dark arts now? That's magic. That's literally, that's a cocktail on my plate.
It's
amazing. No, it's not. No. No, there's barbecue sauce. Get barbecue sauce.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's a good shout. I like that. Good
shout. Get barbecue sauce. Don't mix your red sauce. Sorry, tomato ketchup with your brown sauce. Yeah, to make beige. Beige sauce can do one.
I like both. But that's why I both. And
basically, as far as I'm concerned, you've got any form of tomatoey thing on your plate, and I quite often have sort of like grilled tomatoes or something like that, it's brown sauce because I'm not going to have my ketchup anywhere near my tomatoes.
Oh, I wouldn't put ketchup on.
It's wrong.
Tomatoes, no.
No, and it's sort of like if you've got baked beans on the plate, they're in a tomato sauce. Why would you have tomato ketchup on there? I have to keep explaining this to my son. Beating him round the head repeatedly with
with the ketchup bottle.
Exactly.
Oh, and a special request. I took this out of asking this question before, but before I press record, Phil said, I'm going to ask you about this, so I'm going to bring it up. Favorite Nando's order, or do you like Nando's?
Yeah, well, it's definitely not Nando's.
There you go.
It's definitely not Nando's. No. We went to Nando's in Peterborough.
Yeah.
And as I said, as we've gone in and we're all sort of like, oh, this is exciting and new. I've gone in with the kids and it's all family friendly. I'm thinking, this is great. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be wonderful. They do hot sauce. I like things hot. I like things spicy. It's amazing. Hotter the spicier. I eat fowls, you know, so I do anything. I'll have a go at anything hot and spicy. So amazed. It's an amazing concept. So in we've gone and the man's gone, Have you been to Nando's before? And I'm thinking, oh, no, but I've been to a Harvester. So he's gone, what have you got? So he goes, right, so this is going to be the best chicken you've ever had. And I thought, you're setting yourself up pretty high here, mate. I don't want to see you fail. I want it to be the best chicken ever. We sat down and basically he put in front of me a piece of chicken. Well, it looked like chicken. And then I put some hot sauce on it. And as I put it into my mouth and it the dust exploded because it was the driest chicken that had ever been made. It was literally, he'd taken a lump of charcoal and painted it white and said that was a chicken breast. It was awful.
See, I've never in my history.
And this is the best chicken that I'm ever going to have.
I've never had a bad experience in Nando's.
I, at that point, I thought about joining Vaughan and going vegan. For a second.
So are you are you any form of chicken fan?
Yeah.
Where would you go get chicken from?
Anywhere. But KFC? Nando's. I mean, I haven't been to Louisiana or wherever it is that Shona's been to go and get her.
Where it was now.
It wasn't Kentucky, was it? It was Tennessee. Was it Tennessee?
Yeah. I think it was.
Yeah. I haven't been there. I've only been to New York in the States. So I haven't been there. So I can't speak from experience, but I've had lots and lots of good fried chicken in South London.
Nice.
We used to go for the Gut Buster special, which was because you used to be able to get ribs, okay? And you can get ribs at Favorite Chicken. Mm-hmm. So you go to Favorite Chicken, mm-hmm. you get your ribs, you get your burger and 27 mm-hmm. pieces of chicken, mm-hmm. and you sit there and then watch three movies and wonder why on earth you did any of that.
Yep. And then you eat the end of it and go,
I shouldn't have eaten any of that.
But it's so nice.
But it was so good.
See,
yeah.
That's the thing. They don't. Which sort of brings me on to the next thing I was going to talk about. You live in Wisbeach, don't you?
Wisbeach, St Mary. Yeah.
So are you Cambridgeshire or are you Norfolk?
Cambridgeshire.
Yeah, you're Cambridgeshire, but it doesn't matter because it's so close to the border, you might as well be both.
Yeah.
We live in, obviously living Kings Inway, so we're Norfolk, but they don't, is there a favourite chicken round there?
No, I don't.
And Chicken Cottage?
No. No chicken cottage.
I'm saying these words because
you might as well be talking in Dutch.
Well, the thing is I know that a couple of guys that listen to this will probably go, yeah, we got them one in round the corner, yeah. But Chicken Cottage, Favourite Chicken. Where was another one I was thinking of the other day that used to be around quite a lot. But you're not originally from, as you already sort of mentioned, but how long have you lived up this way then?
About 13 years now, something like that.
And you're originally South London?
South London.
Orpington?
Born in Lewisham.
Yep.
Brought up around Grove Park sort of area, and then over to Orpington, and then, funny enough, university, then Catford.
Nice.
So, yeah, we lived in Catford for about 8 or 9 years, me and my wife.
I is South London born as well, but I lived in North with a N-O-R-F, North London. And so what made you decide, it's probably a daft question, no disrespect for those people that live in London, but what made you decide to move from the big smoke up to the country?
Lots of different reasons, really. I think the fact that me and my mate Richard were going to open a shop in King's Lynn might have had something to do with it. It would have been a hell of a commute otherwise, wouldn't it?
Saying that, though...
I heard
a story. Let me tell you. I heard a story. Someone told me how true this is or not. You know Downer Market, don't you?
Downer Market, yeah.
Right. There's two main curry houses in Downer Market. There's the Titash, and then there's the Downham Tandoori.
Right.
I can't remember which one it is. I think it's the Downham Tandoori. It's the Titash. The guy who owns the Titash restaurant lives in Harrow and comes and commutes up for about 4 or 5 days a week, stays, and then goes home again. Or somebody told me, I think they were a bit drunk, he commutes up every day. And I went, that sounds like balls, because that's a hell of a trip.
Yeah.
Come to one restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be insane.
It's mad.
Although saying that, I mean, like, you've got to remember a lot of restaurant type things have normally got sort of like flat stuff going, you know, flats above them.
Yeah.
So it could be his property. He's got upstairs. His family are down there. Long hours when you're doing the thing. So he might be working it 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah. Oh,
possible.
No.
Possible.
Possible. Fair fucks to him, because I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. No. But yeah, so we moved up here. That was the thing. We'd planned to open this thing up. Obviously, there was a CEX in every little provincial town around where we were.
Yeah.
But there wasn't one at that point. There were very few in sort of like in and around sort of like the Norfolk-y, Cambridgeshire, North Cambridgeshire area, because there is nothing up here. So it was always the last to get anything. So we thought, oh, we'll go up there and we'll open one of those because they do franchise opportunities. So, you know, it was, I think it was £175,000. Yeah, I know. Which is why as soon as my mate went, I'm not entirely sure. I'm like, well, we're out then.
No more.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And moving up from London would have released the equity in our house that we had in London. Mm-hmm. So we'd have still been paying. So what we did, we took that money that we would have put into the business and paid it off the mortgage, basically. Mm-hmm. So, but we would have put that money into the business, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah.
That's good.
That was the plan. And then...
So there's you and Claire.
Yep. And I've got Solomon and Rosie. Uh-huh. Rosie's 5 and Solomon's 12 in September. He's 12 in September.
Yeah.
Yes.
And is he at secondary school?
In September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, start my middle daughter is as well. She's a little bit like me in the fact that she's quite cool about it all. She's not, I thought she'd be an absolute, especially what we've got, everything going on at the moment. I thought she'd
be quite excited.
Yeah, she is as well. Because he's
quite excited about it. Thing is he's kind of out, he's at West Beach St. Mary at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to Spalding Grammar, okay?
Right.
So he's passed his 11 plus, mm-hmm. he's going there. He's the only one from his class that's going there.
Right.
Okay, and I would have been terrified if it was me, but he's quite excited because he really does like to get, while he likes to muck about and be an idiot, he also likes to get on with the work.
Mm.
And it's at that stage where they are at the primary school at the moment, where they're winding everything down and they're having lots of fun. And he's like, I just want to get on and get to the new school. And it's like he wants to get his education over and done with, if you know what I mean. If I get it all right, wants to get it done.
If I get to 18, I've done enough.
Yeah, it'll be done. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, he's got quite a good work ethic when it comes to, you know, doing his homework and doing all the other bits and pieces. Yeah, far better than me. I was absolutely awful. My parents wasted a fortune on my education.
Is he interested in the family business or?
I hope not.
What, you don't want to get you don't want him you don't want him to work. No. For you?
No, I want him to go and do something good.
You know what? There was when I worked in the police, there were so many guys, so many people I worked with, male and female, who would say, who'd have kids, and I'd say to them, what do your kids want to do? Oh, well, they want to do this, they want to do that. One guy came into work one day, and he looked absolutely heartbroken. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, my wife and I, you know, she's okay, but I'm so upset. I'm like, oh, my word. I said, I hope everything's all right. He said, yeah, one of the kids. I went, oh, everything okay? He went, I can't believe it. He said, they turn round when they were asked in their class today what they want to do when they're older. Now, I think they were either end of primary, secondary school. And they were asked what they wanted to do. And I couldn't believe it. Out of all the jobs that they wanted to do, they wanted to be a police officer. Oh, it's just so hard. I went, but you do it, and you've been doing it for 20 years. Yeah, but this job's shit, he said. I said, but you make a good living out of it. He went, oh, no. He said, I told them, no way. Not under my roof. I said, if they want to go and do it, then go, they can move out. They said, I'm not letting them join the police, not when they're living in my house. I said, because what a job would you want to go? And when I joined, my dad knew. Dad was ex-police officer all the time. And he was so pleased and so proud that I had, you know, and I think about it now, and I've got the pictures in my head, but he and I have got some really good pictures. And me, you know, he'd done 25 plus years, and he and I had some photographs at the best training school of the best police force in the whole world, the Metropolitan Police in Hendon. We had some photographs of he and I there together. He came, I had to wear full dress uniform. He wore full dress uniform. And there were other parents of officers there who were police officers. There was a couple of them who were detectives as well. But I think one other person turned up in uniform. All the rest wore civvies. And I was so proud that my dad did that, and it's a massive thing for me. And we've got some really good photographs, but I couldn't. He was so proud of me when I did that, and I couldn't believe this guy. And he went, "I can't believe they want to join the police." And I was like, "You knob, what?"
I mean, I get. The thing is everything comes down to people's experiences.
Yeah,
and I get that if he's not enjoying his lot as a copper, then the last thing you want. I mean,
But I said to him, "Do you enjoy your job?" "Oh, I love my job." He said, "But I don't want my kids to do it." And I just think,
well, that's ridiculous. Then
that's daft. You know, that's daft.
Yeah.
That's
if you, daft. I mean, this is all right. I just, I don't know if there's 25 years left in what I do.
Technology changes all the time, then, doesn't it?
So technology changes all the time. You just got to look at the way that, like, Apple and a few other people are now literally, everything's a one circuit board.
Mm.
Okay. So, yeah. If you've got, like, for instance, these new Apple M1 laptops, you've got one circuit board inside. Mm. All the memory is soldered onto the motherboard. So, and all the, and the hard drive component is soldered onto the motherboard as well, the SSD. Right. So if you wanted to upgrade the memory or the storage to make it more useful to you in, say, 3-4 years time, you can't.
No.
So no, you go and buy an 8 gig, 256 gig SSD MacBook Air thing, and that's all it's ever going to be.
Mm.
Okay. So you go and spend your 1100, 1200 quid. And then in 3 or 4 years time, you think, "Oh, well, look, I'm running out of a bit of storage. What do I do now?" Oh, I throw it away.
And buy a new one.
And buy a new one. Yeah.
It's a sales thing, though, isn't it? But then
that's the thing. Apple will go on about how absolutely... Well, don't get me wrong. The phones, I can see that a bit with the phones. But they'll go on about how wonderful and recycled. But the big thing about recycling, invariably, is people making do and upgrading and, you know... I mean, I get customers that have got laptops where I put a solid-state disk in to make it nippier and upgrade their memory. They get another 3-4 years out of their laptop. You know, I get, you know, some money for doing an upgrade, and they get 3 or 4 years extra use out of it.
Exactly. I mean, I sit on the fence because I have an Apple Watch, I have an Apple phone, but I don't like their tablets, and I won't spend 5 times or 10 times the amount on a bloody MacBook Pro when I can buy a laptop for 300-400 quid. And it can be upgraded, and it can, as you say, you can do upgrades, so you can make it last longer, etc. I don't agree with that, but the thing with the phones is because I have a phone contract, and you know,
we all use our phones in that, you know, we're upgrading our phones every 2 years. Yeah. I mean, what happens with your phone is you will either give your phone to one of your kids, okay, at the end of 2 years, or you'll sell it.
Mm.
You know. The thing is that's fine, but yeah, but you know, if you could repurpose it or use it, you know, add another couple of years to it, because the processors inside these laptops and desktops now, they're not as bad as they used to be.
That's right.
So they still, you know, they're still hanging in there. I've got 4th gen i5 desktops that are essentially 8 years old, but you turn them on, SSD boots up lovely, does everything you need it to do, and they're on a market for 160, 170 quid. Marvellous things. Mm. Marvellous.
I just can't believe how laptops, you know, say I like Apple stuff and, you know, we'll use it. If someone wants to buy me one, if Apple are listening, they want to give me one, that's fine. But I ain't going to pay for it because the price for a laptop, £1,000, piss off.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'm not going to pay that.
Cool. It's almost that for the screen if you want to replace it as well.
Don't. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous prices. So, I've got some more quick-fire questions.
Oh, quick-fire questions.
Quick-fire questions. Okay. EastEnders or Coronation Street?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Neither.
There is no way I'm going to be watching that shite. Remember I said I didn't really want to really swear? That utter shit is deplorable. The one thing that I'm proud of is that when my wife and I first moved in together, EastEnders would go on of an evening, and I'd be literally sat there going, "What is this shit?"
Get out my pub.
Oh, don't. And it was, and it's awful. It's just shit. Oh, I'm going off. And so, yeah, literally, it was that bad. It threw me out of the room. I was gone. And I'd just be sit there, slag it off here, there, and everywhere because it's awful. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so that's a good question.
Next question, neighbours or home and away?
So you've gone down a peg?
No, I've gone the other side of the world.
Jesus right, Christ, man.
Moving on. Football or rugby?
I understand the concept of both sports.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Did you watch the Euro final?
I did. I watched, yeah. Basically, I get very excited about football every 3 years in the last case, but mostly every 2 years.
Yeah.
I watch England qualifying matches and I watch England stuff, but I cannot be bothered to sort of like follow a team, as it were. I get bored quite quickly by the concept of, yeah. So I watch England matches, but nothing else.
Well, I watched the final, but I don't really remember anything before the...
That's because you were drunk.
Understatement. Anyway.
What are you complaining the following day?
Oh, mate, I was complaining for about 4 days after that. It literally took me most of the week.
Oh, dear.
And yeah. Anyway, moving on. Horror or comedy?
I like both. Shaun of the Dead. There you go.
Yeah. Love that. and then some of the other string of, well, they call them the Cornetto Trilogy.
The Cornetto Trilogy.
However,
yes.
was it
World's End?
World's End. I like Simon Pegg.
It was underwhelming.
It was. And I like Simon Pegg, but he just appeared to be trying too hard in that film. Shaun the Dead and Hot Fuzz, which I love, and I can watch over and over again. It just came really natural. Yet he was really trying too hard in that one to be.
Funny. That's the thing is he was trying to be the guy that we've all known them, the one that won't give up on being who they were when they were 17. Mm. And I feel that there was a story to be told. I just don't think that was the story to be told.
No.
And I absolutely love the director, Edgar Wright, as well. Mm-hmm. His stuff is absolutely phenomenal. Well, you know, the BNI video I did, okay?
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Basically, with all the little stupid snap cuts were because of Edgar Wright. So like when we were doing anything, it was always click, 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 click. Okay, yeah. And that's all down to sort of like Edgar Wright stuff, you know.
So the thing was, I remember watching that video, and I was in. I had to turn the video screen off for the meeting so that people couldn't see me. I was in tears because I found it hilarious. And then the little bits in between, when you said sometime later, I absolutely cracked up on that because I've seen SpongeBob. And I knew that. And there was a couple of people on that WhatsApp group that were on, were like, they just didn't get it. And I just you got to get that. And what I like is that your kind of humour is your humour is my sort of humour, and I get that. And there are people that just sit there and I just think, oh, piss off, you're boring. So another question for you then. All right, Star Trek or Star Wars?
Oh, you can't have too much of both. Got to have it all the time.
I'm going to be controversial here, and he's going to get upset. A mate of mine, Paul Restall, if you're listening, I'm going to go with Star Trek, mate, because Star Wars is... I do like it, but...
Star Wars is good, but yeah.
It gets a bit boring.
Star Wars, funnily enough, is getting better because of the long-form series type thing, like The Mandalorian. The thing that Star Trek has had is the ability to tell a long story. And the last three movies were shite.
Do you think? I thought they were really good. I thought it was a different way of looking at it.
I'm sorry, horses going up on a Star Destroyer type thing. What the flying fudge was that all about? I mean, really? Really? Flipping and changing. Oh, she's nobody. She's somebody. Oh, she's... Let's bring Palpatine back. And you're like, oh, really? So, but I love Star Wars. I will always go to the picture to see the new big Star Wars film. And then I will enjoy it while it's there. But I will think of most Star Wars films. I mean, I say that. I've got a Star Wars poster over there from the original trilogy, you know, when it was good.
Hang on. I just had a funny thought. I did just say Star Trek, not Star Wars, didn't I?
You said Star Trek was amazing and the Star Wars was rubbish.
No, I didn't say Star Wars was rubbish. I said Star Trek is better. But
I love Star Wars. It's just, I think J.J. Abrams, I mean, I think... Rian Johnson did a better job in the second one. This is controversial now.
Yeah.
Than J.J. Abrams did over the other two.
I'm just trying to find.
I've been watching Star Trek since I was like five.
Well, I'm trying to find. I've disappeared off screen with Phil at the moment because I'm trying to find wherever the hell it's gone. I've got somewhere a
nice
picture,
pink gaming chair.
A red. I've got a picture.
Not for I'm looking.
Bloody find it. I can't find it. I've got a picture of a signed autograph. I met Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, he's amazing. And what was brilliant, I was telling my friend this the other day, when we've been to a few of those Comic-Con type things, and when you go and meet people, so I met a guy from Walking Dead, and I met an actor called Mickey Rourke, who plays... have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, he's the one with the mohawk.
I can't remember the name off the top of my head. But
Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
What?
I'm sure that's it. Is that him? No, it's not him.
No, no, that's a different bloke. No, he is. He also was in Walking Dead. Michaela and I had a photo op with him, and I shook his hand and said, I really enjoyed you. We were there for, I think it was for Guardians of the Galaxy type stuff, or was it for,
yep.
I can't remember. But if you tell these people other things that you've seen them in, they really appreciate it. So we also met a guy who was in The Walking Dead, who played the part of Abraham. Michael Kolditz. But he was also in Band of Brothers Private
Band of Brothers is good.
Which is amazing. I love that. I can watch it again and again and again. And he was also in... what else is he in? Oh, I forgot what it was. Oh, Southlands, which was the cop show on... it was on Sky. It was only a couple of series, and it was quite real hard-hitting. And I sort of said to him, when we met him, I said, I really like your knees. And he was really thankful because everyone was like, oh, seen you Walking Dead, seen Walking Dead, Walking Dead, Walking Dead. And he was probably thinking, oh, fuck off with you Walking Dead. And then I said something else. And when I met Patrick Stewart, he was miserable as fuck. He really was. He was sitting, Dad and I...
He's had an entire day of people throwing pieces of paper underneath his
nose. Me and Dad and my brother-in-law, Mark, went to the Excel Centre in London and we went to a Star Trek thing.
Yep.
And he was there doing autographs, and there was people like Brett Spiner, who plays Data, and the guy who plays Geordi LaForge. So they're all out taking photographs of people, having a laugh, you know, fun. And he was sitting there, sat complaining about it was cold, being miserable. All the others there, even flipping William Shatner, who was half out of it because he's so old now, was letting people take photographs, but Patrick Stewart was no photographs. I even tried to sneak a cheeky photograph and the security guards got the ump. So we queued up. I went up. I said, do you mind if I shake your hand to Patrick? And he was like, yes. And I said, please, could you sign this? And then I said, I loved you as Professor X in X-Men, and I loved you in Family Guy and American Dad. And he laughed and he said, I've not laughed all day. He said, but you're the only person who's thought about me in other stuff rather than being Captain.
Should have mentioned Dune. Have you ever seen the film Dune?
No.
Yeah.
Was he in that?
Yeah, he was in that.
But I think
he has an absolutely fantastic line in that. What was it? I can't remember it. There's a brilliant line that he comes up with. I don't know, is it Moods? Mood is for love playing cattle or something like that. It's just ridiculous. It's just sort of like, hang on.
But
I've got to Google that.
He was superb. And I think the biggest thing is if you recognize them for other stuff,
yep,
they really appreciate it, because if they're there for, like, let's just say, Star Trek or Walking Dead, they're just getting people going, oh, you were this part, oh, I love you, this part. And you think, And they're probably thinking, yeah, I'm bored of you now, you know.
He's his character is called Gurney Halleck. Right. Okay. And his line is, mood's a thing for cattle and love play. So there's June's got a big remake. It's massive movie coming out. It's got Imhoff Aquaman in it.
Jason
he's playing somebody. Yep, he's in it. And Duncan Idaho. Yep, there's loads and loads of sort of like really famous people. Yeah. Just Google it, June. And it's like part one, and it's by directed by the bloke who did The Arrival. Have you seen The Arrival?
No.
Have you seen Blade Runner 2049?
Yeah.
Yep, he directed that. Paul French guy. Yes. It's a big classic science fiction book from like the 1960s.
Oh, and, I know what it is. I've seen the thing. I've just never seen it. Okay, awesome. Here's one for you.
Go on.
What was the last program you watched?
We're currently watching Money Heist, the Spanish thing.
Yeah. My dad's been watching
on Netflix. That's quite good. Yeah. And then prior to that, we watched something else and then come back to it. And then we watched the trial of OJ thing with Cuba Gooding Jr. We never watched that beforehand and, you know, didn't fancy it. And then we watched the Versace one like last year or whenever it was it came out, and then watched this one just recently. What else were we watching? Don't know. Crime stuff. Yeah. Claire likes crime things.
Yeah.
Yes. Line of Duty, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
We enjoyed that, and we enjoyed the finale, and we got the fact that it was the little nobody bloke, and it's actually quite well written, and the fact that that little nobody, just, there is more to it, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think it is him, though. I think that's...
No. He's not the big guy. He's not the big guy, but the fact that he is... is there at the end, you know, as the and I think there is something else happening behind that, because I mean, we've not got to the end of the corrupt chief inspector, have we?
No,
so he's still the big bad guy, mm-hmm. you know, and we've not got to the end of that yet, so there's still a season left.
It will still keep going for
it's got another series or two in it.
What's funny is I didn't realise this, and they have shown it, and if you watch it on slow time, it is real. In the very first series, when Lenny James, who's the black DCI or DC or a DEI, pulls up at that golf club, the bloke getting out of the back of the vehicle is Chief Superintendent.
Whatever his
Buckles and I remember watching that and going, who's that? You know, I didn't think of it. You just passed it by, but it's brilliant.
But that's the thing. There's all these little threads, that you wouldn't have picked up on at all.
No.
Okay, even if you was to sit there and watch it all the way through, unless someone goes, "Did you see this? Did you see that?" You know, it's only if you couldn't sit there. You have to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that I find a little bit annoying. It's like we quite like Only Connect as well, the quiz show on BBC Two.
Right.
Okay. And it annoys me when there is no way that you could, when they come up with sort of like a bunch of questions that you couldn't answer on the first question.
No.
I hate that when it's sort of like you've got four questions. What's the connection between these four things? And if you can't guess it on the first one, what was the point in putting that set of questions in? I hate it. Really annoys me.
I do think it's clever because it is the same actor on the line of duty thing as it is at the end.
Yeah.
And they've put that in knowing that it could lead to...
It's going
to
lead somewhere.
However, it's quite a risk sometimes, isn't it? Because they put it in and the actor could... Something could happen to the actor, or they could change, or they could not get past the first... You know, it could have been an absolute bomb. It wasn't. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But it could have been an absolute bomb. And that would never have happened. But they've done that, and then they've got the same actor six series later, and it's all Well, he didn't. He came back in 5, didn't he? And again, I've said this so many times on the podcast. If you've not watched Line of Duty yet and you've not worked out this, then tough, because I'm going to give it away.
Yeah.
But he came back a bit late. He didn't come back straight away. It was after a few seasons, series, wasn't it? He then came back and had a role which was prominent. So, so last question before we finish off, because, mate, we've been going at this for... We have. It's been really good. I like this. Lots of talking, and it's all natural. It's not made up. Tell us something about you that you wouldn't necessarily tell someone else. Obviously, don't tell.
I don't tell if it's illegal
or criminal, because I don't want to be involved in.
I mentioned this at the beginning. I said that the thing is I'm pretty open book, and it's just it's because I haven't told you yet.
Okay, well, so tell me something you haven't told me.
Don't know. Oh, I don't know.
So what I do is when I do, and people have been on my training courses, when I do a training course, I'll ask so many questions. I'll say, what's your name? What's your job? Why are you here? What do you want to learn from today? And tell me something about you don't know. So my one is, I appeared on stage with Cheryl Baker from Bucks Fizz.
I know. I heard about this last week. So, with, your good sister.
My sister, there's another one for you. I'm open about it. When I was 11, between the age of 11 and about 15, I was at theatre school and I did ballet and I wore tights. There you go. Boom.
Boom. There you go.
There you go.
I've never done ballet. Ah, tights. I have something.
You wore one on your head when you robbed a bank.
I have something else. We can't speak about that openly. Right. So basically, when I was 7, I won second prize in an Easter pageant at my primary school. Yes, second prize. Yes, I was. First prize went to a friend of mine that went as Batman. Okay,
third Always prize. Batman went, the winner.
Well, yeah. Well, you're Alfred, remember? running joke. Another friend of mine who got third place was, what was he? He was, so I don't know. I can't remember what he was.
Obviously, but, something because he wasn't
crap. A... yeah. But yeah, I came second and I was the Easter chick. And I was wearing my friend Janine's yellow leotard with yellow tights and a little thing that my mum made, and I was the Easter chick and I came second. So I could quite happily tell anybody that story. As I said, I'm an open book. I just haven't told you yet, so I don't have secrets. I tell everybody everything, however humiliating it might be. Second prize, Easter chick. And literally, there's a photograph. I think it's on my Facebook page. Why would my mother do that to me?
Sorry, I'm just scribbling down a note. So when I do my bit for advertising this episode, say what we've talked about. And at the end, it's going to say Easter chicken costumes. Hashtag yellow leotard and yellow tights.
Yeah. Why would my mum do that to me?
Because she knew you were going to win second place. She knew you were a winner.
I wasn't a winner. I did that. Now that would have been, but Batman won.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm sorry.
Batman won with a sports costume, I might add.
Was he wearing tights?
It was. No, it was an all-in-one. It was a bought costume.
Oh crap! At least you went originality, mate.
So that's probably I was. Yeah.
The old
humiliate me.
The old rhyme, they say, first the worst, second the best. There you go.
Yes.
Winner, mate, winner. There you go.
Chicken dinner.
So, Phil, I'm just checking I haven't missed anything. Oh, yeah, last bits. Here we go.
All right.
Favourite drink, tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Wine?
No.
No wine at all? No.
Don't really do wine. No.
Okay, Jack Daniels. Beer?
Yes, I drink beer.
Okay.
And here's quite like a Budweiser.
Nice. Here's one for you. Cream soda or dandelion and burdock?
Cream soda, but dandelion and burdock is made of the devil's mess.
Mate, it's all made of the devil's mess.
No, cream soda. You literally cream soda. It's an amazing drink. It's lovely. Very refreshing.
It's interesting.
Dandelion burdock. You can stick that up your ass.
And there you go, ladies.
Literally,
and gents.
As a 1 litre bottle.
Sideways.
Sideways.
And there you go, ladies and gents. There's the official comments on dandelion and burdock from Mr. Philip Brooks.
Thank you very much.
Bill. So for Diamond Bites, where can people find you?
On the internet, www.diamondbites, that's with a Y, as in computer bites, .co.uk. We've got an Instagram page that we're going to start playing around with. I'm the PC guy on Facebook. Yeah, so we're going to start doing more Facebook and Instagram stuff. Obviously, email, phone numbers. You'll find that all on the website.
On Google.
Yeah, on Google. Yes.
Yeah, sweet. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Phil, thank you very much. It's been an absolute blast, mate. I've really enjoyed it today.
Excellent.
Thank you very, very much. So, everyone listening, that has been episode 2 of season 2 of Spill the Tea with Jimmy C podcast with our amazing guest, Mr. Phil Brooks from Diamond Bite Solution. Thank you, Phil. You've been great. And we'll see you all again soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.